The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
I recorded this sermon 2 weeks ago, and a brief interlude, we had that crummy preacher here from last week. Man, woohoo! Wasn't that awesome? Boy, when Brother Kerry was here, those of you who weren't here, let me encourage you to ask for either a video or a CD of that from last week, and or if you have access to the internet, you can just go to the internet and you can watch it there. It was just an awesome time of revelation through this man of God that was here. So, but he's not here today, so you just have to put up with me, and I'm going to try to finish this sermon that we started last week. So the topic is a very large topic. It's about what is the glory and the majesty of God? What is that all about? And there's a text for the series, and this is intended for it to be a three-message series, but I don't know. It may go on until Jesus comes back. I don't know. But let's look at Exodus chapter 33, verses 18 through 23. And this is a New International Version. Now, remember, this is Moses on Mount Sinai, all right, in the presence of God. Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." That's a bold statement. You ever said that to God? Show me your glory. And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." Father, thank you for your word. Lord, it is indeed meat and drink unto us. Thank you for preserving it through the ages that we might have it today. Lord, as we study, as we spend time together looking at the scriptures, the revealed word of God, I pray that this word of you, your divine presence with us, would permeate our very souls. We look to you, Father. We trust you to make your glory and your majesty manifest in this place. And we pray together in the name of Jesus. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. As I told you 2 weeks ago, the glory of God and his majesty, what is that all about? And I mentioned to you in some detail about how his majesty is the evidence of the nature and character of God himself. It's his very nature and his very character when we speak of glory. We use those words so nonchalantly, it's just kind of like, how you doing? Say, oh, God's glory, the glory of God. But there's so much more that God would have us to know about this. His glory is his splendor, and his splendor is light. Remember in the book of Genesis, the first thing we see God doing, he speaks, he says, "Let there be light," and out of him came forth light that you and I enjoy today. Amen. That light of God manifest. His majesty is his authority. His eternal authority that can never be diminished. It's often questioned, but it is never stopped. Now, this sermon that I started to preach last week in line with this is, how can you and I, mortal men and women, how can we experience the glory and the majesty of God? Is that possible? Is there a way that we can experience it? And for a text for today, we're looking at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. Peter says, now we did not follow cleverly invented stories. That's good to know, isn't it? When we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, this is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. They experienced the glory and majesty of God, didn't they? So it's possible for us to be able to do that. There are other instances. Abraham experienced the glory and majesty of God when he received the old covenant. Moses experienced it when he received the law and led the people out of deliverance out of Egypt. Isaiah saw it when he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And he became the prophet who told more about the coming Messiah than any other writer in the Old Testament. Jesus experienced it at his baptism, and then again at the Mount of Transfiguration, the glory and the majesty of God was manifest. These two bookends, the glory of God is his eternal presence in being, the great I am. And the other bookend is his majesty, his eternal authority and ability, the I can. I am and I can. What do you need? I am able to do it. You know, we have such low visions of God, and we've relegated to him to the idols of other worshipers, that he's just something that we hang on a cross or in a crucifix or in an empty cross as we have here, and we just have little expectations of God's glory and God's majesty. That needs to change. Come on now, that needs to change. We need to be looking for God. We need to be expecting that. So I want to talk to you this morning about how we can experience it. And the first thing is that you experience God by being in the right place. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Let's look at verse 17 and 18, 2 Peter chapter 1. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, and saying, this is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on that sacred mountain. The glory and majesty of God can be experienced when we're ready. But you got to be ready. I mean, you got to be wanting to see. Moses saw the glory of God where? On the mountain. How did he get to the top of the mountain?
He climbed it.
He had a climb. Any of you ever, any of you flatlanders, swamp people, ever climbed the mountain? It ain't easy, buddy. I'll tell you what. I get on a 2-degree slope and I get tired, you know. I get on top of the high-rise bridge going across the lake and you get a nosebleed. I mean, we're not much for high places, but I've been to the mountain is Martin Luther King said, but I've been to places where there are mountains, and I've tried to climb those things, and man, it's not easy, bro. It takes a lot of energy. I mean, you'll be huffing and puffing and wondering where the oxygen is. I mean, you got to work. And that's a picture for us that sometimes it's going to take some physical, spiritual, emotional expenditure of energy in order to get into God's presence. Pastor Kerry, who was with us last week, we were talking about that very thing. And he was a part of the Brownsville revival, and which lasted for such a long time. And You know, I told him that I had to admit that I'm such a skeptic that I didn't go, and that my mindset was that, you know, if God wanted to move, he could move right where I was. I didn't need to go over to Pensacola to get involved in that. How dumb was I? And he said that he had that statement made many times, and he asked a guy one time, he said, do you take a shower? And the guy says, well, of course. And he said, well, do you get in the shower? And he said, well, yeah. He said, well, why don't you just stand on the outside of the shower? If God can get, you know, be anywhere you are, you know, why don't you stand outside the shower and let the water fall on you and you won't have to get in the shower? And I thought, boy, that's a good example of that, isn't it? You know, sometimes you need to go where things are happening. You know, if I'd advise you to be here right now. Things are happening right here. We're on a fast track, and I won't go through all of that this morning, but when God is moving, get in. You know, just start making yourself ready. Climb the mountain, if you will. You know, just decide to make yourself ready. When you come to church, be ready. You come with a sense of, man, God's going to move today. God's going to heal me. God's going to make me well. God's going to remove my depression. God's going to give me exactly what I need. Now, I know I don't have to go to church, God. You can do it right here in my living room. However, the water's flowing here right now. Well, I'd get in the water here. You know, when I want to preach, I don't stay at home and preach. I'd be preaching to my wife alone. That'd be a good thing. But if you want to hear it, I got to get here. If the people are out here on the internet listening, I've got to have the cameras working. You know, we got to be broadcasting it. They got to be sitting down in order to hear. So to experience God, sometimes you need to do some things. Jesus said there would be a day when we would worship him not in Samaria nor in Jerusalem, but would worship him in spirit and truth. Now, one of the ways that we can prepare ourselves, and those of you who are here know about this, and those of you who are guests, let me just tell you about it. We've just been through our third 21-day fast since January. Now, sometimes fasting and praying and giving will make a difference. Now, I know for some of you super spiritual people, you say, well, you know, that was for them. No, this is that. Okay? This is that. That's what Peter said on the day of Pentecost when everybody was confused. And they said, this is that. Well, this is that for you, not for someone else. Say, oh, well, I don't like that fasting stuff. Well, how about the praying stuff? Huh? How's about the giving thing? You know, very uncharacteristic of me, and those of you who know me well will attest to this to be true, that I'm not real big about asking for money around here. We don't even pass the plate. We got a box back there. You get moved, Holy Spirit, you give. I'm not going to try to wring dollar bills out of you. But I really got under conviction about during our fast, about ending our fast by receiving an offering. Because Jesus said in Matthew 6, when you pray, when you fast, and when you give. Yeah. All right? So I decided we'd celebrate with an offering. We collected, this small congregation, small in number, not small in spirit, we collected right around $6,500 in one day. Some more money came in, and that amount raised to $6,604.65. As of today, that has risen to $7,654.65. Give God the glory. I had someone call me this week and said that they don't even go to this church. They should, but they don't at all. And maybe they will. And they had participated in the fast, and they said they wanted to complete the fast by giving. I didn't ask them for anything. I didn't say, you know, you need to give an offering. Walked in over to my house and showed up with a check for $1,000. That's serious giving. I'll tell you, that's serious money. I mean, I used to be serious money for me to give 10 cents. You know, that's all I used to give at one time. Whatever change was in my pocket, that's what God gave. And that's the blessings I got back in return was what I had in my pocket. You know, and then, but this person showed up with $1,000. Do you know that last week, not related to that particular giving, Someone, again, who doesn't go to this church, sent us an envelope with this little note in it saying, we hope this blesses you. It's a check for $1,000. Just out of nowhere. Except what out of nowhere is out of the glory and the majesty of God. Miraculously showing up. Fasting and praying and giving helps prepare you and make you ready to see the manifest glory of God. Now, there are times that you are in God's presence when you just won't be denied. You ever decide that you're going to get a hold of God no matter what it takes? That you're just not going to turn loose? Lord, I'm not going to eat another bite. Lord, I'm not going to drink another drink. Lord, I'm not going to do another thing until I hear from you. Well, I'll tell you what. Some folks say that crazy. I think that's pretty smart. You know, God might have mercy on you and speak right away. Otherwise, he might make you wait a while. You say, now, Pastor, you're talking about a gospel of works now. You're trying to tell me to get a lot of things. You're trying to put me under conviction about having to do something. Well, I guess I am. You know, Ephesians, it says that, you know, it's by grace you're saved, you know, through faith. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. But then it goes on to say, but we are being created in Christ Jesus for good works. There are some things we ought to do in fasting and praying and seeking God and hungering after him. The psalmist, David, said, my soul longs for you as a deer longs for a drink of cool water at the water brook. Are you there? Do you ever long for God? Say, Lord, if I don't have you, I can't go on. Lord, if I don't hear your voice, I don't want to hear another voice. Lord, I need you, Lord, in my life, and I need you now. Oh, God in heaven, hear my cry. That's what happened in Egypt, you know. The Lord said, I've heard the cries of my people. Crying out for God is being at the right place at the right time. You know, that sometimes God will manifest his glory and his majesty to you because that's what you need. The old religion won't work for you. That you need something special. I've had two occasions where I wasn't smart enough to ask, but God was gracious enough to give. The day that I got called to minister, had a manifestation, a physical vision of God. I mean, I saw it. And he pointed his finger right out at me. And he said, I want you. I mean, you may not believe it, folks, but I'm telling you the truth. This is what happened to me. Right before I lost mom when I was in that prayer revival. I mentioned this to you before. I didn't know that I was going to need it, but during that prayer time, I had a manifest vision of God. I mean, I needed it. It's what I needed. It shows you how weak I am. I mean, that's what I had to have. Well, Jim, are you ready to show that stuff I gave you? Before you show it, I wanted to set this up for you. I've been looking so forward to preaching this sermon to you this morning. I've been rehearsing it in my mind and my spirit. I mean, I just couldn't wait to get to church this morning until this morning. And I woke up and you ever have God disappear? He just disappeared. He just was gone. And I was not feeling very well. And I was just, Lord, what am I going to say? Oh, man. After Kerry last week, he's such a great preacher, and it's me. And man, I went in to get powdered before I left. I get powdered now, by the way. I wear makeup since I'm on this camera. My glory shines too much, so if Pat needs to powder me before I can leave the house. But I'm not wearing any lipstick, I can tell you that. And I went in for Pat to powder me, and she said, "What's that frown on your face?" I said, "I'm just not feeling good." She said, "Get me." She got me trying to rehearse me through some scripture, and I just went through the motions. Yeah, don't worry about nothing, you know, and God will give you the peace that passes understanding. I'm thinking, I can't wait to get home and watch The Amazing Race tonight. You know, that's where I was. And then I walked out. I got my little briefcase on wheels, and I went out to my back door to walk out and get in my car. And those of you who have been to my house know I have a double garage. Keep my cars in there. Mine first, Pat's second. No, it just hurts. I park closer. And when I walked, I opened the door and I looked out. There was a red hue over the hood of my car. And I stopped. I said, "What the heck is that? I must have left the light on here somewhere." Jim, can you bring up that first slide of my car? I took a picture of it for you. You get it? No, not that one. Get the one that's with my car. Can you do that? One more. That one. Kill some of the house lights. I want to be able to see this. You see that? Across the hood of my car and up into the windshield, into the car, there's this red thing. I said, "What in heaven's name is that? There's no red lights in my garage." So I went looking around the garage, and go to the next slide, Jim. The one on the ceiling, if you can get it. And on the ceiling, there were these two red things. Now, we're not talking little, folks. I'm talking that's probably a 20-foot long. Resting on the top of, right over the hovering, like over my car and over Pat's car on the ceiling. And I had to use my imagination a little bit, but it looked like a cross to me. But I just, you know, that's my imagination. And then I went around to the back of the car. Bring up that next slide. Oh, no, that's just another shot of the one on the ceiling. Yeah, that one there. And there was that whole area on the side of Pat's car on the garage wall, just covered in that red and beautiful white hue. And I'm thinking, where is this coming from? I went and got Pat. I said, "Pat, come here." And she was powdering her face. In case she got to be on TV. And I said, "Come here." She said, "What?" I said, "Come here." And I brought her in the garage and I showed her this. I've also got a video of it, but we weren't able to get it on board for you to see the video this morning. Now, in the natural, I'm going to tell you that in the natural, I finally figured out what it is that was causing it. The sunlight was coming through my garage door and reflecting off the taillights on Pat's car. I've been living in the house for 5 years, and I can probably count it on one hand, since that's all I've got, the number of times that I haven't gone to that garage in the morning and never seen anything like that before. Now, you might say, "Oh, well, Pastor." Well, you can say that if you want, but I'm telling you, that's a manifestation of the glory of God that took place. So that you might know that God is able to do great things. Why did he do that? Because I needed it this morning. It's what I needed this morning. And I debated about showing you, but I need to just get you growing up a little bit and just believe that God can do awesome things. And then just to make things better, I come here. Fran grabs me, and she's got your daughter, Aubrey, got your daughter with her. And she says, "Oh, come back here and see what she's done with the flannel thing." She's all turned on about the flannel graph. So I go trek them back there like a good pastor. Radiating, and on the floor is a big red moving light. And I thought, "Oh, my God, it's here too." And sure enough, Shine the sun shining through a heart that she's got some kind of decoration in the window was radiating that red light on the floor. I've been in that room, Lord knows how many times over the years, and I've never seen that before. We can turn the lights back on, Jim. I didn't eat any pizza this morning. In fact, I don't eat on Sunday morning. It's just my way of doing things. But I want you to know, if Pat was there, she saw it. Pat? It was gone when she left.
About 20 minutes later.
It was gone.
But a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night.
Amen.
That's the manifested presence.
And I had the glory of the red shiner.
Yes.
And it reminded me of the shed blood of Jesus. That's what it reminded me of, made me think of. So, you do with that what you want to do with it. I know what I've done with it. I believe it's a miracle of God. God is doing something awesome in this since the beginning of this year. I haven't seen anything like this before. Not here. Let me ask you a question. Are you satisfied with the relationship and the way things are going for you right now? Are you satisfied? Or do you want more? Do you have a hunger for more? Do you want more? Do you want to be one whacked out crazy Christian for Jesus? Let's just get on it and get whacked out. Hallelujah. It's time to. This world needs what you have, and we need to be prepared to bring it to the world. Peter, James, and John saw the manifestation of God's glory, but they had to get out from where they were to where God was. Can you imagine Peter, James, and John in the morning? God says to turn them cell phones off. Who's got their cell phone on? Is that the worship leader here? Is that you, Becky? My hell. Get the bucket of water, will you? We'll baptize that thing. Well, here I am preaching my heart out and the phones are ringing. Wow. I thought it was my wife's, tell you the truth. So, even the Stephen of cell phones are singing, right? Glory to God. But can you imagine on that morning Jesus says, hey, Pete, James, John, let's go, man. We're going somewhere. Where are you going? Oh, man, just come with me. And Peter said, man, I hurt my leg. I'm just tired, Jesus. I don't want to go. Just take John and him and go. Wonder what it felt like. But he went. And when he went, it says in the book of Luke, it says, we went up on a mountain to pray. And as he was praying, who? Jesus was praying. The appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash. Remember I told you splendor and light? As bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. Wow. Lord, while you're ministering others, do not pass me by. Lord, don't pass me by. Don't let Peter, James, and John get it all. Don't let that one-armed pastor get it all. Lord, let me in on the program. Let me see your glory. Now, let me tell you what you need to do, beloved. You need to start leaving behind some of your old ways. You need to leave that religious trappings. You know, I was telling someone the other day, it's so much more fun to pastor a denominational church. Man, if you're Southern Baptist or you're Assemblies of God or you're Methodist or Presbyterian, man, it's easy to preach in a place like that because you know everybody's there pretty much knows the rules. You know, they know what they believe. It's easy. But, man, with this non-denominational thing, I don't know where some of you been. I don't know what you've been learning. You know, you hadn't been here with me for 10 years to get you straightened out. I got some of you almost straightened out. I'm working on Gail. You know, I got some of you straightened out. But some of you, man, I don't know what you've been listening to. I don't know whether you heard the truth or not. But you know, if you want to see God, and Pastor Kerry said this last week, you need to start thinking different. You need to throw away your religious trappings. You know, that religion won't get you nothing but in trouble. And start reaching for the truth. Reaching for Christ. And God is a miracle-working God. He's a God who wants to reveal himself to you as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But as long as you've got a preconceived notion of who God is and what God will do, I'm telling you, you're robbing yourself. Jesus said he didn't do very many works in his own old time because of their
unbelief.
You know what that is? That's religious trappings. No, God will never do that for me. Why not? Why not you? Why not manifest glory being revealed to you, experiencing it? Let me tell you what, beloved. When I left my house, I didn't have a frown anymore this morning. Man, I was glowing. Woo! I couldn't wait to get here. I kept waiting for you guys to hurry up and sing. Get it over with. I want to preach. Man, you were singing so long. Everybody's got to get prayed for. Man, Aaron, where's Aaron? Aaron, I don't have time to pray for you. You know, would you pray for Betty? She's not here. I don't want to pray for Betty. You know, Bobby's on the internet. I don't want to pray for you there. I want to preach. We'll pray for Mark. God, let Mark get healed by himself. I want to preach. I'm ready to go. I've seen the glory of God. I've been on the mountain. I want to get on with the preaching. And God just takes up an hour and 15 minutes of my time. What a nerve God's got. Some of you get uncomfortable waiting for the preaching to start. You're just going to have to be uncomfortable because God won't let me have the platform until he's finished. Need to get rid of these preconceived ideas. Let me tell you what. I've been pastoring this church. We're in our 11th year. And we've done all right. I've managed to chase more people off than I've kept. I mean, I've just managed to do it. I didn't plan it that way, but that's what I've done. The truth of it be known. Then I bring in Brother Reggie. Man, nothing like bringing a Southern Baptist into the midst. I'm telling you what, he's stenciled on his chest somewhere, Southern Baptist. Love the fire out of that guy. He's not here this morning. I wish he was. I hope he's watching on the internet or watches us, so he'll know. Now, I figured, you know, I'm a lot better than he is. I mean, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you know, and I've got this, and I've been involved. Yeah, man, Reggie's just a Southern Baptist preacher. You know what more? Man, they came on Wednesday night. I couldn't get more than 6 or 8 people plus the cockroaches to show up on Wednesday night. Reggie starts showing up. Man, 2 and 3 more start showing up. Finally, we're running 12 to 14 people on Wednesday night. And I thought, wow, man, that's pretty good. And I'm really happy about it. I'm just making fun this morning. Wednesday night, those of you who were here, 27 people came into this building Wednesday night to hear that Southern Baptist teach. And God showed up. We had a third of the group of visitors I've never seen before. And God showed up. And a young girl got prayed for and got delivered on Wednesday night in this place. The manifest glory of God. You say, oh, well, gee, that's just, you know, just happened. No, it didn't happen. It hadn't happened 11 years. Why did it take this past Wednesday to happen? Because I'm telling you, God is moving in this church. Because we have been praying. We started 3 years ago fasting and praying. Fasting and praying. 21 days, 7 days, 3 days, believing God that he would finally show up. And this year, the Lord said, I'm going to do in 1 year what it would normally take 10 years to do. And I thought, and I told you all that. I said, we'll see what kind of prophet I am at the end of this year. Well, man, since January, my heels are on fire. I'm being moved so fast. I mean, people are showing up. God is doing things. There's a manifest glory of God that is being happening in this place. You know something you need? Give God the glory. Man, it is 12 o'clock and I only got 1.3 done. Oh my gosh, I can't wait till next week to preach this. You just have to hang on. Oh my. Number 2. I'm going to get 2 points down there at least. Y'all having fun?
Yeah.
Are you believing God for great things? Is this reaching into your spirit and says amen? You know? More of him, his glory and his majesty. You experience God by following his footsteps. Peter in 1:16 said this. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Have you seen the glory and majesty of God in your life? Have you experienced it? Enough so that you could say to someone, oh my, God has changed my life at last. I've longed for this change in my life. I experienced it at one time, but man, life has just stripped it away from me. I've been so disappointed in people and events, and I've been trampled underfoot by every goat in town somewhere along the way. Every unbeliever put their trash all over me. I feel like a Mardi Gras float. I've had so much junk put on me. But I'm ready to see and experience God once again. I want to be revived. I want to be revived. You know, Peter is a good example for us. Because Peter wasn't perfect. He was only persistent. Here's a guy who didn't understand everything he heard. Jesus would say something, he'd scratch his head, kick John under the table, and say, what did he say? He didn't get it. And when he got it, he'd get it wrong. Even at the very last, he pulled out a sword and chopped off a man's ear. I mean, he wasn't even good at killing. He was trying to kill him. He just wasn't very good at it. You know, he wasn't trying to cut off his ear. He was trying to cut off his head. And he didn't do it. It wasn't that he didn't try. But he wasn't very good about some things, bro. He just wasn't very good. He didn't understand things. He wasn't a good warrior. Jesus is in trouble. His best friend. He said, you were with him. I recognize your accent. You were with him. I said, I don't even know who he is. I don't know the man. And he cursed. And the cock crowed. That's Peter for you. After the resurrection, Jesus is having a conversation with him. He says, Peter, do you love me, man? Do you really love me like I love you? That's what he's really saying. And you know what he said? I love you, man. That's what he said. I love you, man. Just that it's a different word in the Greek, you know, if you've heard that lesson before. You know, yeah, man, you know I love you, man. Why don't you feed my sheep? Peter, do you love me the way that I love you, man? Do you love that kind of love? Oh, man, you know what? I love you, Jesus. You know I do. You know I do. You know I do. I'm going to take care of those lambs. Come on, Peter. Don't you get it? Don't you get it? Don't you understand? Do you love me the way I need to be loved by you? Come on, Jesus, why are you picking on me? This is Peter. I'm putting in current vernacular for you. You know I do. Is that you? Is that you? I love you, man. I love you, man. Yeah, come on, Jesus, you know I love you. Are you like Peter? Tough question, isn't it? But here this guy is. Jesus is talking to him about love. And what does he do? He said, what about Aubrey? What about her? What about Steve? What about Joe? What about them other people? That's what he said. He said, what about John? And you can hear Jesus' heart. He said, man, don't you be worrying about him. You worry about yourself. What about you and your relationship with me? That's what it's all about. What about you and your relationship with God? What's it like? We know you're saved and going to glory because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But what about now? What about here? What about your relationship to him today? Peter realized that he had to abandon the old way to get to the new way. This same stumble bum who couldn't seem to get things right in a storm in the sea probably 12 guys on board the ship, doesn't give us the exact number. And somebody said, there's a ghost out there. And Jesus said, no, it's just me. Peter says, if that's you, here's, not the perfect guy. If that's you, you just call me and I'll come on out there. And Jesus said, come. He's the only one who got out of the boat. How do you think those 11 other guys felt? Andrew, why don't you encourage me to go? I could have done it. You know? What about you, John? You know he loves you. Why didn't you get out of the boat? Why didn't we all get out of the boat? Why didn't we do it together? And I'm asking you right now, why don't we do it together? Why don't we all get out of the boat? Why don't we all walk on the water? Why don't we all search and hunger for the Lord? Why don't we say, Lord, if that's you, if this is really you, Lord, bid me to come and I'll come. You don't have to be perfect, you just have to be persistent. Same one that Jesus told to Peter. Hey boys, you out there in that boat again? That's the one I saved you from that storm. And yeah, it's that same old rickety ship that Peter owns. You catching anything out there, boys? Let me ask you a question, friends. You catching anything? Or are you just fishing and wasting time? Wasting time. Now we've been fishing for a long time, Jesus. We haven't caught a thing. Let's put your net over on the other side. Why? Because what you're doing is not working. It's not working. The Lord spoke to us about this a year ago in December of 2009. We had a word here. The Lord spoke to my heart. Said, put your net over on the other side. Been laboring for 10 years. And I told you, I've chased off more than I've caught. Just because we're affiliated with Resurrection Life up in Picayune, people think they can go up there and stay. I told Brian. Brian said he wanted to go. He told me last week, oh, that guy's from Resurrection Life. I want to go up there. I said, you're not going up there unless I have it in writing that you're coming back. Why not here? Why not now? Why not you? Why not me together? Casting our net on the other side. And when the Lord spoke to me about casting our net on the other side, that's when we, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, decided to bring this church out onto the internet because I couldn't fit enough people in this building. And as of right now, this is no bragging, these are just facts. You can check them out for yourself. I haven't checked it in the last month, so I may be off a little bit. But the last time I looked, we had somewhere in the neighborhood of 96,000 people who have visited our website. I know for sure of over 800 people who have watched the videos of this of the services in this church. I know for a fact that over 20 nations of the world have watched the broadcast from this storefront church of what's going on here. And some of you are here this morning because we cast our net on the other side to bring your hide in here. Because I couldn't catch you the way I was catching you before. That's why you're here. And some of you still resisting. You're like the fish trying to get out of the net. You're not going anywhere. Just relax. We're bringing you in. We need you. I need you in this church. The poor folks that are here, I've worked them so hard, I'm starting to feel guilty about it. Not enough to give them any respite, but I'm just starting to feel that way about it. Don't be like Paul, kicking against the doors. Don't be trying to fight your way out of here. God's called you to be here. Come here. You're a part of what we're doing. We need you. We'll love you. We'll take care of you. We'll put you to work. Won't be no belly aching because you only have time for it. But this Peter, who walked on the water, who cast his net over on the other side, got to be there on the mountaintop to see Jesus manifest splendor and glory and majesty. And I'm going to tell you what, friends, that guy and those other two guys were never the same. I don't know, I wasn't there, but I can almost bet you if you went to Peter's house for coffee and donuts, Peter's going to tell you about, man, I tell you what, I did a lot of things for the Lord, but ain't nothing like what I saw on that mountain. They didn't want to build something, did they?
Yeah.
The glory of God. You see the glory of God, you want to build something for God. You know what God wants you to build? He wants to build a church. He wants to bring in the unbelievers. He wants to minister to the sick. He wants to feed the poor. He wants to get the gospel out to the entire world. That's what Peter did. And this same Peter who couldn't get a thing right after he got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and he preached this first sermon that I know of that he preached, when he got finished, 3,000 souls came into the kingdom.
Amen.
Wouldn't you like to be a part of that?
Yes.
Man, I'll tell you what, I get jealous sometimes. That guy was here last week, and I thought I had big visions of things, but he said that in the Brownsville revival, if I remember the numbers correctly, and I didn't have this in my notes, so if I'm wrong, you can correct me, but I think he said there were about 4 million people went through, and they know for sure that 500,000 in that neighborhood came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was sitting over here saying, well, if God wants to move, he'll just have to come where I am. What a great attitude that is, huh? You got that attitude? Well, if God wants to move, he'll just have to come where I am. Come on.
Following him.
Lord, wherever you go, I will follow. Hallelujah. All right, I'm actually going to take, I've got you late already, so I'm just going to keep you the rest of the time. It would be better than 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, whenever it was. We stayed for 3 hours, so that even bothered me. And I was leading the pack, so I mean, you know. You experience God by asking him to show himself. Asking him. Let's go back to Exodus 33. Verse 18 and 19. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. Show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. You want a burning bush experience? You want a Mount Sinai experience? You want a mountain of transfiguration experience? You want red lights in your garage experience? Ask, and you will receive. You ever ask him? For yourself? Not for somebody else, but for you. For you as an individual, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just ask him. Swallow your pride and ask him. Man, I hate to ask anybody for anything. It's the way I am. I'm sorry. I grew up as an only child. My dad taught me that. He said, man, you know, cut your own way through life. Don't ask anybody for anything. And that's the way I am. I'd be laying in the bottom of my boat bleeding. I wouldn't even ask you for a tourniquet, which I didn't. I mean, that's how hard-headed I am. I just won't ask for anything. Some of you are just as hard-headed as I am. When it comes to spiritual things, you won't ask God. Ask him. Ask him. God said, you'll see. You won't get to see everything. I'm just going to show you part of it. You'll never see it all here on this earth, but you can see some of it. Jesus said, ask and you what?
Shall receive.
Do what? Ask. He didn't say you will receive. He said, ask and you will receive. Oh, well, I thought if God knew I needed it, he'd give it to me. Well, good. Why did he tell you to pray? Huh? Why did he tell you to fast? Why did he tell you to give? He owns cattle on 1,000 hills. Let him get his own money. He wants to fast? Let him fast. He fasted 40 days. I'm hungry. He gave me an appetite. You know? Pray. Oh, you know it all anyway. Just do whatever you want to do, God. It's all right. I'm happy. What kind of attitude is that? What is that? He said, ask and you will receive. He said, up to this point, he said, you've asked nothing in my name. But I'm going to tell you a secret. This is Jesus. He said, I'm going to give you a secret. This is what the secret is. You ask the Father for anything in my name. He said, he'll give it to you. Yeah, Pastor, that's not true anymore. That went away with the apostles. That's not true anymore. Because I've asked and I haven't received anything. Yeah, you know what you ask? It's like we're going to bed. Lord, now I lay me down and sleep. Praise the Lord, I'm so deep. If I die far away, praise the Lord. When's the last time you really had a prayer meeting? I mean, your personal prayer meeting. When's the last time you really had one? You laid out before the Lord and cried out to him. God, I want to see your glory. I'm climbing the mountain, Lord. I'm getting where you are. I'm following Jesus. I'm believing. I'm jumping out of the boat. I'm asking, God, make yourself manifest unto me. Lord, I can't go another day without your glory. Life has beat me into the ground. I feel like I'm living in hell. Lord, all I think about is getting out of this place. All I want to do is go somewhere else. God, have mercy upon me. Let me see your glory. And God said, I will show you my glory. Do you need to see the glory and majesty of God? Do you need to? Yeah. You can go to heaven. You can see it all when you get to heaven if you want. I mean, that's okay. Well, let me ask you a question. Some of you cruisers, and I know I'm talking to people, I'm talking to real people now. Some of you shipboard cruisers. I got more cruisers in this place than they got at Princess Tours. You guys are on a boat so much, I mean, you got sea legs. Some of you growing gills. You get on board that boat. You know what you do? You get your ticket, you get on board that boat, you go down to your cabin and you stay there for the whole trip except when it's time to eat. And you go through the dark corridors because you don't want to go on the deck. You don't want to see nothing up there, do you? Oh, that's not true. One of the first things you do, get up on deck and start looking. Looking for a whale. Looking for a porpoise. Looking for a mermaid. I don't know what you're looking for. You want to see something. You paid your money. You got on board the ship. It's not time to eat. You want to see what's going on, don't you? Why not be in the same kind of attitude in the kingdom? I want to see more. I got my ticket. I got my meal. I'm going to my destination, but I want to see more. I mean, that's the kind of attitude we got to have, bro. That's what we need to have. I want to see more. Friend talked about getting on a plane. Some of you who won't fly, but some of you do fly. Man, go look out the window. The plane's not going to fly any better or any worse whether you look out that window anyhow. Just look out that window. It's glorious down there. Woo! It's my house. Down here somewhere. I'm over Louisiana. I know it's here someplace. To see the majesty of the mountains, the great plains of our nation, to fly over Salt Lake, and to do what I did, which is a dumb thing to do, fly over the ocean of Hawaii. There ain't nothing to see. You go to sleep, because once you get past California, there's nothing to see out there until you hit Hawaii. Right, there you go. Australia, that'd be another place to go. But don't you want to look out the window and see something? You go on a mountain, first thing you want to do is get as high as you can so you can see what's going on. You want to see more. Why not have that same attitude in the church? I want to close with this one thought. I talked to you a couple of weeks ago about my daddy. I like to talk about my daddy because he's one of the foolish things in the world that can find the wise. And my dad was in church one time where I was, and the pastor gave an invitation for people who were sick to come up and get prayed for. And my dad got out of pew and went up there. And, me and dad's in his late 70s, you worry about him, I hope my kids are worrying about me. And Dad went down and got prayed for, and then he got back. And I said, "Daddy, are you sick?" He said, "No." I said, "Well, where'd you go down to get prayed for?" He said, "Oh, man." He said, "If God's giving something away, I'm getting in line." What an attitude. And let me tell you what, that old man saw the glory and the majesty of God many times in his life. So, in closing, you experience the glory of God by being in the right place, by following Jesus, and by asking. Now, this is just a warm-up for next week. Because God willing, next week, I want to talk about the glory and the majesty is seen in Jesus. Woo! That's going to be good. I know it's going to be good. I've been looking ahead of you. I know some of the things I'm going to say. It's probably going to take me at least 2, 3, 4 weeks to get through that one sermon. I don't know. I've had a lot of fun with you today, but I hope I've painted the picture for you. Let's all stand. That you would really reach out to the King. It's not right to be on a ship and just sitting in the bottom of the thing and not seeing anything and being participant in anything. Join hearts and hands with believers and ask God to manifest himself in our midst. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you for your word that you provided for us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that's here in this place. God, would you touch every precious soul that's here and those who are watching via the internet, that they might reach out for you and that you, my gracious Lord, would give us more. Lord, let us see more of you. Let us experience more of you than we ever have before. Oh God, like Moses, we want to see your glory and experience you in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for being here with us today. Thank you for the experience of it, even here in this church, in this service today. We thank you for it, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You are dismissed in the name of the Lord. If I can pray for you, I'll be up here. I'll be glad to pray with you about anything that you might have need of. Don't run off. We got coffee and good food for you to, it's healthy food to have. So whatever you need, make yourself at home. You're dismissed. Bye-bye.